Hey man, it's good to have everybody out to the home group meeting tonight. And as I said, we're going to go ahead and start a new format where we're going to look at expositorily, look at some verses, and then we're going to go ahead and go through, have a general discussion afterward. Amen. So open up your spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as we go through these notes. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and quickly talk through John chapter 1, 1 through 14. Now you might say, why John? Well, the Gospels, the four Gospels, in each one of those four Gospels, Jesus is displayed differently. Amen. In Matthew, Jesus is known and displayed as the conquering king. In Mark, he's known as the suffering servant. And of course, the number one way that Jesus was referred to in Mark was Son of Sorrow. Not Son of God, but Son of Sorrow, and that's kind of interesting. But in Luke, Jesus was fully man. So that was the main theme of Jesus in Luke. But in John, which we're going to look at, this is what I like, John is Jesus as the Son of God. So that's the theme of John as being the Son of God. Now, we must understand these verses, chapter 1, 1 through 14, to be successful in God. Let me say that again. To really be successful in God, we must understand these 14 verses. Because these 14 verses here in John chapter 1 are the foundation of all truths contained in the Scriptures. So this is a little nutshell, these 14 verses, and that's why I wanted to start with that. These are the foundational truths contained. Now there's other truths, but these are foundational truths. And of course, the first truth is Jesus is the truth. Amen? So that is the first truth. And we see that in John 14:6. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Amen? So let's go ahead and let's get into verse number 1, and I will talk through these verses. Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time building a foundation and all of this. I think we will do that as we go ahead and we discuss afterwards. So let's go ahead. This is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now that word there is an interesting word because it is Logos. Logos. We hear often of Logos and Rhema. Of course, Logos being the written word and Rhema being the spoken word. But this is Logos here. It's number Greek 3056. And it means divine expression. So in this verse here, it's going to lay out, you ready for this? That Jesus is God. Let me say that again. This verse here lays out the spiritual truth that Jesus is God. So in the beginning was the Word. And that word Logos there, Greek 3056, means divine expression. And notice in my Bible, it is capital W. Anything capitalized refers to a person. So this word Word is referring to a person. The verse goes on, and the Word was with God. Notice it's a big W again. The Word, or Jesus, was with God. And notice the third time, the Word, or Jesus, was God. Wow. So, you know, Jesus is God. Here's commentary. In the beginning, Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. So the Word was God, Jesus was with God from the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Verse number 2. The same was in the beginning with God. The same was in the beginning with God. So this is commentary. Talking about the Word, that's Jesus, being with God from the beginning of all creation and all times. So Jesus was with God. He was from all creation. Well, we know that Jesus created all things. Amen? And he was always, always there at all times. Revelations 13:8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, Jesus, slain from the foundations of the world. So we know that Jesus was here on the earth, he created the earth, and was slain and died for you and me before the earth was made. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, I have a hard time comprehending that. I, I guess I'm not as smart as some people, but the Word of God says that Jesus was slain before the earth was made. So he was before the earth, and then the earth, wow, was made. A tremendous thought. Verse number 3. All things were made by him. Now when the Bible says all, it means all. It don't mean some, it don't mean a few or a couple. When the Bible says all, when the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it means all. Everybody has sinned. So all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. Commentary. All things were made. Now notice it says made here. But if we look at Genesis 1 and 1, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there's a big difference between making something and creating something. If Karen, she can't create that wonderful cherry cobbler that we're going to eat later. She cannot create that. She can make that. Because to make something, you have to use something to make something with. But to create something, you can just speak that into existence. So she didn't create that cherry cobbler. She made that cherry cobbler. But here in John 1:3 and in Genesis 1:1, it's the same word. Made and create is the same word. Now, there's a lot of folks out there that take this very verse here and they get into the gap theory. In the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, there was a world of beings, and the earth was there, and it was in chaos, and all of that stuff. I don't know about all that. I'm not that smart. But I know it's the same word. It's the same word. In the Greek, it is Greek 1096. And so create and make is 1096, which means to arise or to assemble or come to pass. And so that all things were made by him, or created by him, and without him was not anything that was made. Amen? Number 4, in him was life. Wow, let's stop here for a second. I like that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, this is one of the first main themes in the Bible. And that is Jesus' life. And as I said in John 14:6, as he said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, I said, where are you going, Jesus? And Jesus said, well, Thomas says, I'm going to the Father. You know, we want to go with you. And Jesus says, we don't know the way to the Father. And Jesus says, well, Thomas, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man goes up to the Father except through me. Wow. But he, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Only life is found in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're taking notes right there, you need to underline that one real big, because only life. There is no death in Christ. Let me say that again. There is no death in Christ. There's no, when I won't say death, I say there's no darkness in Christ. There's no darkness in Christ, but there's only life found in Christ. And this is one of the first major themes in the Bible. Verse number 5, and the light shineth in darkness. Now the light, who's Jesus, shined in darkness for the world, and the darkness of the world comprehended him not. Now, in this verse here, there's a double meaning. There's double meaning of light. The first is light in creation. Light in creation. And the other one, as we see, we turn the page, is Jesus being the light of the world. So light in creation, as we take that from Genesis 1 and 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw, you know, there was no light until this time. And there was no darkness. Isn't that amazing? There was nothing until God spoke. Well, that's the spiritual truth. That's the thread that runs through our life. Unless God says something, nothing will happen in our life. Let me say that again. Unless God says something, nothing will happen in our life. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So now, without light, you have darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now notice a spiritual principle here. In the evening, darkness comes before light. Night comes before day in the Jewish world, but that is a spiritual principle that darkness comes before light. Before we came into the light of salvation, we were in darkness. Darkness always, it's a thing. Jesus died in darkness. Then came the light. The children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, they crossed it in darkness. The Abrahamic covenant was made in darkness. Darkness always comes first, and then comes the light. Wow. Isn't that amazing? A spiritual principle. So that second one is Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I like this. I am the light of the world. Not man's technology, but I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now the word light there is Greek, Greek 54:57, which means to show or make one's thoughts known. That's what that word there means, light there. I am the light. And God, or Christ, goes ahead and makes our thoughts known. Greek 54:57, to show or make known one's thoughts. And that word darkness there is Greek 46:53. I'm sorry if I'm overwhelming you with the Greek, but to kind of, you know, dig down and get what's being said here, we have to kind of look at some words here. But here it says that word darkness means obscurity. Obscurity. So it's not the absence of light, it's being obscure. The obscurity. Amen? Verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now that is not John who wrote the book of John, but that is, of course, Jesus' cousin known as John the Baptist. Amen? I always liked John the Baptist. He was an interesting character. And if you really critically look at the book of John, you will find John the Baptist is very, very similar to what a lot of pastors and preachers today are. They kind of wanted to do it their way, and they did not want to follow with what the Lord wanted. Because the plan of God for John the Baptist's life, Jesus' cousin, was for him to stop baptizing people, stop gathering disciples around him, and become a part of what Jesus was doing. But John never did that, so God had to put John in a place where there was no water, where he couldn't baptize anymore, and that was in prison. Sadly, John said some of his last words in the Bible is, are you the Christ? Or shall we look for another? And that's Jesus' cousin saying that. As we go ahead and look at John, you will see where John had many, many opportunities. Jesus gave John many, many opportunities to join with him, but he didn't. Amen? Verse number 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved. Notice there the word light is capital L. It's capital L. So now Jesus was a capital W word. Now Jesus is a capital L in light, that all men through him might be saved. This is another theme. This is another theme of the Bible. Is that all men can only be saved through Christ. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God wishes none to perish, no, not one. Not one person does God want to perish. But if they perish, they perish because of their lack of acceptance of the plan of salvation that God has for them. Amen? Commentary. Talking about John the Baptist, about Jesus, the light of the world, that all men through him might be saved. And of course, we are saved. Of course, Ephesians 2:8 tells us that process of being saved. Of course, a lot of churches have their, or a lot of denominations have their favorite verses that they go ahead and they use. But the verse that Paul talks about salvation, how we're saved, is again Ephesians 2 and 8, that says, by grace through faith are we saved. By grace. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God, but we are saved by grace through faith. And of course, how do we come to that place of understanding? And that is Romans 10:17. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that is a good, that's a good verse, of course. But I like the Greek transliteration of Romans 10:17 because it talks about it a little more. It makes a lot more sense to that. And that faith cometh by hearing a word, capital W, from God. So we get faith not by doing things or working for God or giving money and traveling here and traveling there and all of that stuff. But we get faith when we hear God speak. So salvation in our life happens when we hear God speak to us. Matter of fact, when we hear God speak to us, we get more than faith. We get faith, faith cometh by hearing, but also if God wants us to do something, then in our hearing comes the provision that God has for us. Everything that we need, everything that we need, God will give to us to do. That which He wants us to do when we hear from Him. Of course, salvation is the beginning of that. If there's no salvation, then you could do works out there, feeding the poor, and all kind of people out there feed the poor, do all those wonderful things for God, while actually going for themselves. And I guess God will get some glory somewhere there. But, you know, unless you are saved, then there will be no fruit waiting for you in your life there. Very, very important for us to understand that very, very important point. Point number 8. He was not that light, notice capital S, talking about, or L, and not John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Again, that light is Jesus. John the Baptist was not the light of the world. Jesus was the light of the world. Verse number 9. That was the true light. True light. Capital L, of course, referring to Jesus. Now that word true there is a very, very important word. That word true there always, always throughout the Bible takes whatever it's talking about that uses that adjective true, and it moves it from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. Let's say that again. That word true always transports or translates whatever is being talked about from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. In John 6:32, Jesus says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Well, that true bread from heaven was Jesus. So here Jesus was taking bread out of the physical realm, and He was putting that, He's translating that into the spiritual realm. John 15:1-5, we'll go ahead and probably hit a couple of these verses. Here Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth forth fruit, He pruneth. Now that word pruneth is a really interesting word. It's Greek 2508, and it's not cutting. It's not being a cutaway like we have these wonderful bushes, thank God for bushes, and we prune them twice a year. Well, this year was only once, we didn't do them yet. But anyway, we prune them, and they grow even better and stuff like that. But here, that's not the action that Jesus is doing right here. Here, this word, Greek 2508, is clean, is cleansing. Wow, it's cleansing. And every branch that beareth fruit, He cleanses it. He cleans it. He cleanses it that it may bring forth more fruit. Not cut it away, but He cleans it. For now, it says, verse 3, ye are clean through the word. You know, there's some areas in our life where God can just do a general cleaning. You know what I mean, Howard? God can just do a little general cleaning in our life. And there's some areas in our life, I don't know about you, but I know there's some areas in my life where God will have to do some detailed cleaning. There's some areas that, you know,
sometimes it's painful.
Yeah, oh yeah. But God has to get down there and start with some elbow grease. Mm-hmm. Pruning, cutting those, pulling that away, cleaning that stuff out of our life. Abide in me and I in you. Except ye abide in me, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I abide in him. So it's just not us abiding in him. He's got to abide in us. It's a two-way street there, right? So he in us and us in them, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I think, Marion, most Christians have forgotten that. I know a lot of denominations have forgotten. For without me, you can do nothing. We think we can build this and we can build that and we can travel here and we can save this heathen. And, well, we find out, I remember the first time I went to Africa, I was told to listen to this one Presbyterian minister, and it was his name was Whitehead, and it was called 10 Shekels in a Shirt. So if you want to listen to something really positive, and something really, deep and spiritual, it's called 10 Shekels in a Shirt. About the first time he went to Africa. So his intention was going to Africa to save the heathens. But God got him alone, started cleaning on him, Mike. Started cleansing, started pruning on him. And you know what he found out? He was the heathen that needed saved. Yeah, he was the heathen. You know, for without me, we can do nothing. Amen?
Yeah.
Powerful, powerful truth. Amen? Verse number 10. He was, okay, now, these next couple words are kind of, you can easily get lost in these, but these are spiritual truths that have impact, believe it or not, in the millennial reign, and maybe even after that. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. When he came to earth, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God was at hand. And we see that was in Mark 1:15. But commentary talking about Jesus being in the world, but the people in the world knew him not, not even the disciples. The disciples that walked with him did not know Jesus. They did not understand him. They did not have a clue. They did not know that he was the Messiah. They did not know he was the Son of God. They did not know that he was the Passover Lamb. Jesus was all of these things. And it wasn't until after he went away and the Holy Spirit came that they kind of started putting some things together. But this was kind of a plan that Jesus had when he came to earth. Because, you know, Jesus only ministered to two Gentile people. You know that? Jesus only ministered to two Gentiles in his earthly ministry, or as recorded by the Word of God, let me say that. One was the centurion, and the other one was the ladies whose daughter, the dogs. Someone help me here, sweetheart.
I believe the daughter was possessed.
Yes, possessed and was falling into the fire, and she was a Gentile. Even the Samaritan lady was not a Gentile. She was half Jew. But Jesus only ministered to two Gentiles, and that is because Jesus went to the lost house of Israel. Matthew 15:24 says that Jesus went to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus came to earth to the Jewish people and not to the Gentile people. And it wasn't until Paul, thank God for Paul, that he went to the Gentiles and that we can be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus told the disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Jesus told the disciples, don't do that. Don't go to the Gentiles. but to the lost house of Israel. And that's in Matthew 10, 5 and 6. So now, could Gentiles be saved? Well, if they heard the message, yes, we know Cornelius was saved and others were saved. But while Jesus was there, he went to the lost house of Israel. But verse 12 tells us that for as many as received him, so I believe there were some Gentiles that were saved, to them that he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Wow. Commentary. Talking about those who receive Jesus that cannot work for it. He will give them, men and women, that's you and I, power to become sons, men and women of God, if we believe in Jesus' name, which is the foundation of salvation. Wow, which is the foundation of salvation. Two more verses. Verse number 13, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, which was born not of the blood, or a woman, right? A woman, nor of the will of the flesh, which is a self-effort, nor of the will of man, or a worldly effort. But Jesus was born, but of God. Commentary. Talking about Jesus not being born of woman, like me and you, but lays the foundation for his virgin birth, and also establishes the eternal purpose of God. And the last verse, tremendous verse, which kind of sums up the entire verses 1 through 14. And the word, notice, capital W, Jesus, became a God-man, who was God incarnate, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. Wow, I gotta stop there. I like that. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh, and he dwelled among us. Now, right now, 2022, he's dwelling among us. He's with us right now. Not 2,000 years ago, but he's dwelling with us now. If you notice that, you know, there's a parenthesis, and then there's another parenthesis that ends with Father, and that's known as a parenthetical thought. And a parenthetical thought is when you're saying something, and then inside of those parentheses, now you're thinking that. It's a thought, you're thinking that. So, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then the Holy Spirit is thinking this and is captured, right? And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Parenthesis, so that parenthetical thought is over. And then it's full of grace and truth. Wow. That word there again is logos. Logos, that divine expression. Wow. Talking about how Jesus came to earth as a man, son of sorrow, as I said, that was the title that Jesus was mostly identified with, taken from the Old Testament. And he dwelt among us. And I added this word, and some beheld his glory. Full of truth. Wow. That word dwell there means to abide or to live in. Wow. To live in, to abide. And some beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Wow. Wow. Amen. So that was John chapter 1, 1 through 14. Amen.